Welcome to The Perfect Place for Imperfect People. This is the Local Church Podcast, and we hope this message both challenges and encourages you. Here's today's message.
Reality and perception are two different things. If you're taking notes today, we've got a notebook and some handouts. You can fill these in. You can use the app as well. But write this down. Reality is the way things really are, while perception is the way we think things are. And sometimes perception is stronger than truth because we act on what we perceive. We behave by what we think is true, even if it is not. Eventually, reality wins out, but perception can affect us. Let me give a frivolous example and then a serious example. For decades, the favorite sport of America has been baseball. Baseball has had more fans, it's had more people in attendance, it's sold more memorabilia. It has been correct until recently that baseball is America's pastime. But according to several recent studies, football is now the favorite sport of America. I salute when I say that. I started to wear my Chiefs jersey today, but I wasn't sure you were ready for it. So I'll just say, wow, my team figured it out. We'll see what happens next year. But football is now the number one sport in America, draws more fans, has more in attendance, and sells by far more memorabilia. So the perception is that baseball is king. The reality at the moment is football is king. Here's the more serious perception-reality contrast. Our perception is that we are always busy. Our perception is, I don't have time for that. I don't have time to do what I'd like to do. I don't have time to fit it all in. But here's reality. The American work week is shorter today than at any time in our history. Now, if you're working 2 and 3 jobs, you're busy. You're the exception. I get it. But the American work week is shorter today. Busy was 2 generations ago when both sets of my grandparents farmed 80 hours a week. They got up, they worked dawn till dusk, they went to bed and repeated, went to church on Sunday and repeated the whole thing again. They were busy. We actually work less hours now than any time in American history. But we think it's hip to be busy. We think it's the right thing to say that we're busy. If you ask somebody how they're doing, they'll say, I'm busy. I talked to a retired guy the other day. You know what he told me? I'm busier than I've ever been. No, you're not. You may have added more things to your calendar, but you're in charge of more of your time than you've ever been in charge of. Here's the truth. We're addicted to busyness. Busyness has become a badge of importance. We feel important if we're busy. We feel valued if we're in demand. We feel wanted if we always live life in a rush. Scripture teaches a different concept about time and about busyness. Here's the reality. Time is the great equalizer. Would you write that in your notes? We all have the same amount of time. Now, we don't all have the same amount of talent. There are people with crazy good big talents and people with not as much talent. We don't all have the same amount of money. There are people with lots of money and the ability to make more, and there are people that struggle to get by. But when it comes to time, we're all equal. Everybody has 24 hours in the day. Everybody has 168 hours in the week. We're in a series right now called Reinvest. And in week 1, we talked about the return on investment idea, that God expects a return on investment from us. From us, his followers, from us, his family. Week 1, we talked about God wants you to use your talent for him. Not just to bless you and your family, but to bless others and to serve him. Last week, we talked about finances. God uses your finances to bless you and bless your family, but also to bless others and extend the kingdom. Today, we're talking about reinvesting our time. And here's the deal. This may be the most important piece because I think we are more confused about time than we are about talent or money. Here's our main scripture today. Would you read it from the screen as I read it out loud? Be careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time. Don't miss that. Making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Other translations use this phrase. They say, redeem the time. That's a big idea. It's a cool concept. To redeem means to return something to its original purpose and its original owner. Something has been redeemed when it's been put back in its original purpose and its original owner is in charge. The Bible is challenging us to change our point of view about time, to start to see it as something we redeem, as something that we invest, as in something that we return to its original purpose and owner. Colossians says it this way, make the best use of your time. The Old Testament says this, for everything there's a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. And then it says there's a time for every matter and for every work. How do you and I invest our time? How do we reinvest it in a way that honors God? Three things today. Listen for the one that's got your name on it. First, acknowledge my time is a gift from God. My time is a gift from God. There's a concept in Scripture that's mentioned several ways, and it's this idea that our days are numbered. Look at what it says. Teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. The Bible teaches your days are numbered. What does it mean? It means God has set a limit to how long we live, and we don't pass that limit. He has set it. It's different for each one of us. Look at what Scripture says in Psalm 139. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Now, church, don't miss this. Can we shorten our lives with poor choices and unhealthy habits? Yes. But are you going to lengthen your life past what God has set it for? Nope. God has numbered it. So the concept is, if my days are numbered, and if God has a purpose for me to fulfill, I need to see my time as a gift from God. I need to change my concept about time. God has a purpose. I'm going to use my time well. Mary and I, my wife, had a great moment of this last weekend. Our 40-year-old son came and spent 4 days with us alone. Now, normally when we see him, he's got his wife, he's got his four kids. It's great. It's a big celebration. But he came because we were doing a memorial service, a celebration of life for a man that had been very influential in his life as a teenager. So he flew out from Kansas City to be here. Said, Dad, I'm coming. I wouldn't miss this. So Mary and I blocked off all 4 days. I didn't work those 4 days. I didn't do anything else those 4 days except the celebration of life and hang out with my son. Why? He's worth it. I wanted to invest my time in him. I may never again get 4 days uninterrupted with my 40-year-old son. So I used it as a gift from God. If my time is exactly that, a gift from God, then I need to invest it wisely. That's the first thing. Acknowledge. Time's a gift from God. Second truth, a little deeper. View my time as something I invest rather than something I spend. Would you write that in? View it as something you invest rather than something you spend. This is important. The Bible never uses the phrase spending time. It's not in there. It talks about making the best use of your time. It talks about redeeming your time. It talks about investing your time. It does not talk about spending time. It is not a biblical concept. You see, if life is about you, then spend your time any way you want. But if life is about leaving a legacy that lives beyond you, you want to invest your time and be careful about what you invested in. There's a difference in spending time with somebody and investing time with someone. Last weekend when I had my son, we had conversations of substance. I mean, we talked about life. We talked about purpose. We talked about his future plans. We talked about how the family was doing. We didn't just spend time, we invested that time. Now, here's the problem. We think of time like we think of money. We spend money. And when we run out, we go to the bank and we withdraw some more. Or if we don't have any in the bank, we work harder or we work more and we create more money. So we think time is the same deal. Uh-uh. There's no ATM where you go get some more time. There's no bank where you can go and get some more time out of your account. There's no job you can take that will give you more time. An extra job will take time away from you. Time is so valuable. I hear this phrase from business people all the time. Time is money. Can I challenge that? Time is more important than money. It's more valuable than money. I can give you money and it will bless you for the moment. But when I invest my time in you, that's an eternal investment. That changes your self-worth. That changes your beliefs. That changes who you are. Time is valuable. We got to view time not as something we spend, but as something we invest. So first, I got to see my time as a gift from God. Secondly, I want to view my time as something I invest rather than something I spend. We're going to spend the biggest chunk of our time today on this third idea. We're going to invest our time in this one. Commit to putting God time on your calendar. Commit to putting God time on your calendar. My friends in life know that when they ask me to do something, if I don't pull this out and put it on my calendar on the spot, it doesn't happen. They know I'm forgetful. I mean well. I'm clueless. So when they say, hey, Dan, can we have lunch next Tuesday? I'll say, sure. They'll say, get your calendar out. Get your phone out. Put it down. Send me an invite. I want to know this is real. What are they doing? They're making me put what I want to do on my calendar. Because what you put on your calendar happens. What you put on your calendar happens. So here's the question. For all of the Christ followers in the room, is God on your calendar? I think it's a legitimate question. The things that are priorities for us are on our calendar. Is God on my calendar? Three ways I can put time with God on my calendar. You're already doing the first one, so relax, I'm about to brag on you. Ready? Add corporate weekly worship time to your calendar. Add corporate weekly worship time to your calendar. I grew up in a home where there were some things that were very right and there were some things that were wrong, just like any other home in America. But one of the things that I appreciate that my parents did was they made sure that weekly church, weekly worship together was on our calendar. The rule in my dad's house was simple. If you spent Saturday night in his house, you went to his church on Sunday morning. If I had friends over, I had to explain to them, if you're spending the night in my house on Saturday night, you're going to my church on Sunday morning, because that's my dad's rule. And they still came. And I love that he set that priority in my life. Now, did I love it as a kid? No. No, what rambunctious kid wants to go to church every Sunday? Some do, most don't. But did I learn to appreciate it? Yes. If we were in town, we went to our home church every Sunday. If we were on vacation, we found a local church and went, even on vacation. If we visited my grandparents for a weekend, we went to their very traditional church on Sunday morning. Because Dad was teaching us this truth. If you're a Sutherland and you're a Christ follower, you do church on Sunday morning, period. And I love that lesson. And I have passed it on to my kids. Not everyone gets this. Now, you're here today. The cool part is you're getting this. You came on a good Sunday. I'm bragging on you. We had a big crowd at 10 o'clock. We had one of our largest crowds ever at 8:30. There are people watching online. The good news is this. It's easy at the local church to make a commitment to come every Sunday because we do this thing four times. I mean, it's at 8:30, it's at 10, it's at 11:30, it's at 1. If you want to watch it online, you can watch it online if you miss one of the live services. If you miss all of those, you can go on Wednesday down to Everglades Correctional and watch it with those guys. They'd be thrilled for you to come. The point is that it's doable, but is it on our calendars? I pastored in Kansas City for 15 years. 15 years ago, I had a person walk up to me, part of our church, and back then, baseball was the biggest sport in Kansas City. The Royals were pretty good at that particular moment, and there were more kids playing baseball than any other sport in Kansas City. This guy walked up to me the end of February and said, "I'll see you this fall." I said, "Well, I kind of hoped to see you before then." He said, "Nope, my kids play baseball. I think there's a chance they can play college ball, maybe even pro ball. So we do spring baseball. We play games every Sunday morning for 3 months in the spring. And we do summer baseball. We play games every Sunday morning for 3 months in the summer. I'll see you this fall." Now, here's what he really said to me. God is second. Baseball is first. Because what he was telling me was if there was a fall season, I wouldn't see him in the fall either. Here's the sad part. It's been 15 years since then. All of his kids are now grown. None of them played college baseball. None of them play professional baseball. And none of them are in church today. Because Dad taught them there are other things more important than God. My dad taught me by his decision every week, God matters. Sunday morning belongs to God. So I want you to turn to who you're sitting with and say, "Congratulations on coming to church. You're blessed you got to sit with me." Go ahead. Tell them they're blessed. Yeah. It matters. So thank you. You already have weekly worship on your calendar. Hope you come every week. Second thing we can do, we can add daily private God time to our calendars. Add daily private God time. Think about the things you do every day. You get up in the morning, you shower or bathe, you eat, you go to work or to school or whatever your purpose is in life. Hopefully you brush your teeth and get dressed before you go. People do appreciate that. We do these things every day. We come home, we eat dinner, we relax for a little bit, we sleep, and we repeat it again. The question for me is this. If I'm a Christ follower, why isn't there God time on my everyday calendar? Here's the trap. I did it for years. The trap is I go to church on Sunday. You're doing that. I get my spiritual gas tank filled up. You're doing that. And I go out and I kind of just do life all week long. If I get in trouble, I talk to God. If I have a crisis, I call out. But otherwise, I'll check in with him next Sunday. And we actually can live a godless life all week long. I have been married for 48 years this July. The reason is my wife is a saint. She has put up with me for 48 years. But the bigger reason we are still married, are you ready? We talk every day. We communicate every day. I woke up this morning at 6. I had to be here at 7. That's when the crew shows up that's leading worship that day, that's doing the teaching that day. My wife usually sleeps till 6:30 or 6:45 on Sunday because she comes to the 10 o'clock service. When I woke up this morning at 6, she said, "Hi." I said, "What are you doing awake?" She said, "I've been awake for an hour. I've been praying for you." I said, "Well, thank you." She said, "I need the practice. You need the prayer." She's right. So we had this conversation this morning. I texted her when I got here. I found her when she came at 10 o'clock. I found her when she left. We've texted since then. We will have late lunch together when I get home after the 1 o'clock. We'll hang out some this afternoon. I will go to lead my men's study tonight. When I come home, she'll be waiting. We talk all the time. Why? Don't miss this. This is true in every relationship in life. When you talk, you draw closer together. And when you don't talk, you drift farther apart. You have friends from high school that you haven't talked to in 20 years. You're not close anymore. Oh, they might still respond if you called on them, but you have drifted apart. So every week we have this opportunity to spend daily time talking to God and draw closer, or to ignore him and to drift apart and then go, oops, it's Sunday, let me draw in a little bit again. The scripture tells us, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. So here's my encouragement. Have a regular time and a regular plan to spend time every day, to invest time every day in your relationship with God. Mine is 9 o'clock at night. If you call me at 9 o'clock, you won't get me. If you call me at 9 o'clock, you'll call my wife at 9 o'clock, you won't get her. This is our time. She heads to the bathroom, ends up in the bedroom where she gets her Bible out and has her time. I go to the outside porch where I have mine, and I talk to God, and I listen to him, and I am with him, and I draw closer to him. This is vital. Turn to your neighbor and say, you could use a little more time with God. Go ahead. We have counselors available if you said that to your wife. So we want to put weekly worship on our calendar. We want to put daily private God time on our calendar. Here's the last one. I think we want to add weekly serve time to our calendar. Weekly serve time. If you want to invest your time, you invest it by serving somebody else in Jesus' name, by helping others because God has been good to you. We sang about that today. You have been so good to me. How I love you. You've been so good to me. When that has happened, we want to give back. Now, I encourage you to do that through the local church. It's the church you're part of. And here's the cool part. We are better together. Write that down. We are stronger together. Write that down. We are unstoppable together. We're better. We're stronger. We're unstoppable. I mentioned this last time that I spoke. Think about this. 2,000 to 3,000 people are being part of the local church in a given month. That's about 1,200 to 1,300 of us that attend one of the live services, another 1,500 plus that are online, the guys down at Everglades Correctional. Put it all together, it's right at 3,000 people. If all 3,000 of us said, I'm going to find time to serve God every week by serving somebody else, we would be an unstoppable force. We could literally see the spiritual landscape of Southeast Florida change. And we could be part of it. Let me tell you about 3 16-year-old boys that changed my life. When I moved into seventh grade, my dad said to me, hey, you're no longer just going to church every week on Sunday morning. You're now going to go to youth group on Sunday night. Now, me as a seventh grader going into middle school, I was the biggest nerd you have ever seen. My vision was 20/400. Back then, they did not have easy contacts and LASIK surgery, so I had Coke bottle bottom glasses. Literally, the kids in my room at school would steal my glasses from me and hide them, and I couldn't find them. I'd walk around the room, tapping desks, looking for my glasses. I couldn't see them if they were in front of me. I was not well-liked. I was not accepted. I was clumsy. I was awkward. I was socially a goofball. I didn't like me. Nobody else did either. And my dad says, you're going to youth group. And I'm thinking, oh, you got to be kidding me. They're going to hate my guts. They're going to steal my glasses. I don't want to go. 3 16-year-old juniors in high school somehow saw what was going on with me and came to my dad. These three guys' names were Roger Barrier, Bobby Dean, Ronnie Farrow. Juniors in high school. And he came to my dad and said, Mr. Sutherland, we know Danny feels a little awkward at youth group. Seems like he doesn't really want to be here. I know you drop him off and you pick him up. We'd like to take him under our wing, if you would let us. So we're going to pick him up on Sunday night here at the house, and we'll take him to youth group, and we usually go and get pizza or something afterwards. We're going to let him hang with us so he'll have some built-in friends. Would that be okay with you? And my dad wisely said, yes. Now, I think he said yes because he didn't want to interrupt his Sunday night football game by taking me to church. But nonetheless, he said yes. And because they accepted me, the group accepted me. Because they thought I was cool even when I wasn't, the group said, he's all right. They're not going to argue with the leaders of the group. And in 2 years' time, these guys changed the trajectory of my life. Because by the time I hit ninth grade and they were graduating, I had become like Bobby Dean and Ronnie Farrow and Roger Barrier. I was taking nerdy middle schoolers under my wing. I was helping lead the group and make a place for people that didn't have a place. These guys served God by serving me and loving me. And I would not be a Christ follower today if they hadn't done it. I certainly would not be a pastor today if I hadn't done it. 3 16-year-old kids made a difference in my life. Here's the point. Write it in your notes. God has someone for you to serve on a weekly basis through your local church. He's got someone. There's a nerdy seventh grader somewhere. There's a friend that if you invite him would come with you. There's somebody that would die to have a word of encouragement from you. There's somebody who's behind you spiritually, regardless of where you are, that you can bless if you'll serve them. I mentioned a celebration of life, a memorial service early. I want to tell this story and then we'll wrap up our time today. Again, 10 days ago, my son came and spent 4 days with us. He came to be a part of the memorial, the celebration of life for a guy named Bob Johnson. If you've been in South Florida long around any of the local churches, you might have known Bob. Bob loved teenagers. So when my son was 13 and 14 and 15 and 16, Bob was his youth leader. Now, Bob was a volunteer. He was never on the paid staff. He was not the most talented guy in the room. He didn't have the most money of anybody in the room. But wow, did he invest his time in youth. He made it to every youth camp, every youth trip, every youth retreat, every youth activity. We used to joke that Bob would be the first one there to set up and the last one to leave because he would stay till we cleaned up. He served. And he impacted hundreds, if not thousands, of teenagers over 35 years of serving. For 2 hours, Friday night a week ago, 60 of us who Bob had blessed sat in a room and shared stories of how Bob had changed our lives by investing his time in us. It was amazing. But you know what I think was more amazing? Bob graduated to heaven in November. He was 67, my age. He'd had an infection, been in the hospital, got sepsis, never made it out. But I believe his announcement into heaven was made by Jesus himself. Because Jesus says, the greatest among you, the greatest in the kingdom, the greatest in heaven will be the servant of all. So here's how I think Jesus announced Bob. Introducing the one, the only Bob Johnson. Served teenagers for 35 years. He will be great in the kingdom of heaven. Bob, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into your master's joy. And the applause is still ringing. I may not have the talent I want. I may not have the money I want. I do have the time God has given me, and I can invest it. So let's wrap up with a couple of thoughts. Show me your calendar and you show me your priorities. Show me your calendar, your schedule, and you show me your values. Nothing says what we believe in like where we invest our time. Let's read this scripture one more time. Be careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of your time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Every time I teach, I realize there are two sets of people that are present in the room and online. There are people that have already crossed the line of faith and surrendered to Jesus, and we're attempting to follow him. And then there are people that are still checking it out. These folks that got baptized today, as well as the people that got baptized at 8:30 and at 10. A few months ago, they were checking it out. Now they've crossed the line of faith. Some of you today are probably ready to do that. Here's what Scripture says about salvation. Today is the day of salvation. That's what it says. Today. No better time to decide to follow Jesus than right now. So I'm going to ask you all to bow your heads with me. For those of you that have already surrendered to Christ, you pray for those that are about to. But if you're ready to give your life to Christ today, pray this prayer in your spirit. Whisper it to Jesus while I pray it out loud. Father, thank you for sending Jesus to save me. Jesus, I'm surrendering to you. I'm saying yes to you. I'm inviting you to come into my life, you to change my heart, you to be with me always. I ask you to forgive my sin, the thing I've done wrong. I ask you, Lord, to change me and make me who you want me to be. I give the little bit I know about me to the even less that I know about you, God. I'm all in. I surrender. In Christ I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today, there's a connect card in front of you. I hope you'll grab it. Let us know that. You can check on there the box that says, today I decided to follow Jesus. If on the other hand, you're ready to serve today, you can check the box that says, serving somebody will be in touch with you. Last question, and we're done. What about God? Where is serving God on my calendar?
Thank you for listening to the Local Church Podcast. If you enjoyed today's message, we'd love for you to subscribe to our podcast and review and share what you learned today. You can connect with us at thelocalchurch.com or by searching The Local Church on your favorite social media platforms. We hope you join us next week for a brand new episode. And remember, you matter to God and you matter to us.